Our scripture text this morning is from the 25th Psalm. It is verses 1 through 10, but I think I'll just read the entire Psalm for us this morning. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of the covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release me from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. May God bless the reading of his word.
Take a moment to say something this morning before I sing. I am not the choir, but when you only have two altos and one of them is out of town and the other one is sick, then I guess Randy gets to sing a solo. But that's what we're going to be doing today, and I don't think that it was mentioned, but thank you to the Nasus for our beautiful flowers on our chancel this morning.
There's a quiet understanding when we're gathered in the Spirit. It's a promise that he gives us when we gather in his name. There's a love we feel in Jesus. There's a manna that he feeds us. It's a promise that he gives us when we gather in his name. And we know when we're together, sharing love and understanding, that our brothers and our sisters feel the oneness that he brings. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for the way you love and feed us, for the many ways you lead us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
As I mentioned, the Old Testament reading for this morning is from the book of Genesis, and it is the part of the story of Noah where God makes the covenant with Noah and his sons and their families and with all living creatures, promising never again to destroy the earth with water and giving the sign of the rainbow, which from time to time blesses us each. Sometimes in the lectionary, the readings are thematic, and it's the case this time. The reading from the epistles is from 1 Peter, chapter 3, and Peter mentions the ark, and he likens it to baptism. This is an interesting connection, the idea that the floodgates of the heavens opened, and the springs of the deep came up, and the ark was covered over in water, like a baptism. And Peter says that the baptism was not and is not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clean conscience towards God. Furthering this theme, the gospel reading for this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, and it is the scene of the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, when the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and God spoke blessed words of acceptance and affirmation to Jesus, whose eyes were looking up as he came up out of the water. And now, of course, we are in the season of Lent. When we observe the lengthening of the days towards the coming of spring. Every year when the temperature rises and the grass turns green and the flowers bloom and the leaves come out on the trees, so that eventually, and I'm looking at my phone, not at the moment, but there's actually the numbers 7 and 1. Put in that order. This week, I don't know if it'll happen, but if it does, you can go outside without a jacket or a hat and gloves. Won't that be nice? And during this time, we also observe and celebrate the Passion of Christ and the Resurrection of Christ, the coming of new life, as the earth renews itself, we anticipate eternal renewal. Of course, the earth cycle involves dormancy, and that's where we are right now. We start out in this cycle of death as it is. We are reminded that nothing can be raised to new life unless it is first died. Jesus even says in the Gospel of John, verse 24, out of chapter 12, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. This is a time of repentance, in anticipation of resurrection. In terms of baptism, this is the time when we are all covered over by the water. We're buried down in there, submerged, dying with Christ so that we might also be raised up with Christ. And thus, the 25th Psalm, which is the psalm for the day. It is a part of a group of psalms that are known as penitential psalms. That is, they are used in worship to help people give voice to this aspect of our faith, that confession of sin and denial of self is a rightful preparation to receive grace. The psalm begins with an expression that kind of caught me, and I could have gotten lost there. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. It is a confident statement that God is worthy of our trust. And afterwards, what comes is a combination of confession and petition. Confession and petition. O Lord, teach me your ways. Forgive me. Guard me. Protect me from my enemies. Forgive my sin. Teach me about your love and your mercy and your righteousness. Take away my anguish. That is the time of the liturgical year that we are entering into. This is a season of penitence. So I have some suggestions. First suggestion is, don't do it alone. That is what our worship services and Bible studies are meant to help with. And even if you do not have and are unable to be at worship services and Bible studies and you have the opportunity to do Lenten preparations in solitude, find resources like The Secret Place and others that give devotions where you can interact with what somebody else has done and is doing. It is easier together than it is in solitude. I learned this lesson as a runner. When I was young and I used to be able to run, especially when I was in high school, because I ran every day, and what I discovered is this, that when I went out by myself, I could do it. But it was a bigger drag. And even though running is something you do by yourself, you don't get help from anybody else. They don't push you along. They don't pull you. They don't throw a block for you, or there's somebody has to throw a pass and somebody has to catch a pass or anything like that. It's just easier when you have somebody with you. It's easier to breathe. The time goes by more quickly. You can actually go faster. It's easier to run together with others than it is alone. And it is easier to repent with others who are on the same journey. Secondly, let the Psalms, like the 25th, and as a matter of fact, other scriptures too, give words to your prayers. I know how hard it is to pull words out of the air, to give order to otherwise rambling and disordered and ambiguous thoughts. If you are like me, sometimes the disorder and the ambiguity governs the day in prayer sometimes. But the scriptures are a wonderful resource. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just listen to the words of Scripture and make them into prayers. Let God's Word give the words. And then make use of the visual aids that we've been given and I thought directly of the two visual aids that are prominent in today's scriptures and in the season of the year that we've already mentioned. And that is, first of all, the season of the year. We are entering into the last third of winter, and by the time Good Friday and Easter get here, it will be spring, and you will notice the changes every day. It will be a little bit less cold at night and a little bit warmer in the day. And sometimes there will be fluctuations, and there might be a March storm just to get in the way of things. But it will not be as harsh as a December or a January storm. And there will be more and more sunlight every day. And as a matter of fact, somewhere along the way we'll change the times and there will even be more sunlight at the end of the day, and that will feel really good. You'll notice new life coming as the grass begins to turn green and as the flowers bloom and the leaves begin to bud. Pay attention. But the other visual aid is baptism. And it was one that surprised me a little bit because I usually don't think of baptism when I think of Noah's Ark. Or I didn't. Actually, the church where I come from in Staunton, Illinois had a little bit of an interesting architecture in the sanctuary. The sanctuary was a bit smaller than this. And by the way, when they built it, they didn't go to the expense of having aisles on the outside. So when you slid into the pews from the middle, you couldn't get out on the end. There were people who did not like that. But interestingly, just the color of the wood was a light brown, and the way the ceiling was constructed reminded us of Noah's Ark. It was upside down, of course, but if you turned it upside down, it looked like it could have been Noah's Ark. So sometimes I did think of that when we were just worshiping, that we were in the ark that saved the people from the flood and all the animals. But baptism is a good example. Let yourself be reminded of your own baptism. Be challenged by this question. How would your life be different if you had not been baptized? Which is another way of saying, how would your life be different if you had not come to faith in Jesus Christ? Be reminded of baptism's meaning. And it's such a multifaceted meaning. It represents dying and rising with Christ. It represents inner cleansing. It represents being wholly involved in God's life, totally immersed in it, unable to keep anything out, extracting the parts of our lives and selves that we either think are not suitable or that we are unwilling to submit. And see this as a time of rising up out of the waters and looking at the sky. This leads to my fourth suggestion, which is do not be distracted by the task of lifting up your soul to God. I realize, and I think so does the Bible, that in a very strong sense, the downcast soul is unable to lift itself up. It must be lifted. And the lifting up of the soul is not something that we do, but something that happens to us. We are passive, not active in this endeavor. And yet the psalmist says, I lift up my soul. Perhaps, and this is for you English majors, it would be helpful for us if we understood that there is such a thing as a middle voice, something in between the active and the passive, in which the subject participates in the action that is being imposed upon it. At the same time that we are lifted up, we also lift ourselves. Like Paul wrote in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in you. Don't be discouraged if it turns out that it seems like it's a difficult task. And keep the destination in mind. In the psalm, we find words like forgiveness and love and redemption and mercy and righteousness and truth. And these are high and lofty words. He writes of the one who fears the Lord that he will spend his days in prosperity and his descendants will inherit the land. And that may seem like it's a reference to a promise of earthly wealth, which I believe is inconsistent with the larger message of the Bible, but nonetheless it is clear that when we devote ourselves to these high and lofty things, life is better. It is clear that we are headed to heaven, where we are promised spiritual rewards, peace and joy and love without guilt, because guilt has been removed. Like it is put in the vision of the New Jerusalem in the Apocalypse of John, no more tears or mourning or crying or pain, and no more death, for the old order of things has passed away. That is our destination, and it is a sublime vision. It's worthy of our attention. Sometimes the best we can do is think of the most beautiful things we know on earth. The sight of the ocean or a mountain vista, or the warmth of the summer sun, the dazzling colors of the flowers in springtime, or the Oz-like greenness of the fields and the trees. Or also, one might think of the best experiences that we've had in life. And we've had some wonderful experiences. The making of a friend. Or maybe the finding of romance. Birth. The sound of children playing, learning, growing. The achievements of excellence. Like some of us enjoy watching in the Olympics. But it doesn't have to be athletic excellence. It can be excellence in music or art or literature or a number of other things that become beautiful to us. All these things are but dim shadows of the eternity that awaits us. And like the rainbow in Noah's sky, or the dove that came down out of the sky when Jesus was baptized, once we catch a glimpse, we strain to see more. We strain to lift our heads. In spite of whatever works to bring us down or distract us, whatever weaknesses we have, whatever ugliness we experience, trouble or failure, we find the strength. And maybe at the first, it's just the strength to point our gaze upwards at the spectacle, realizing that all we can see is but a small piece of the great heavenly extravaganza. And then, by a miracle of grace, we too can join with David and with Noah and with all the others that have come before us and say, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." And we are lifted up. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that you would help us to lift up our souls to you. Maybe in the ways with Noah or with Jesus, but maybe in other ways that are unique to us, let the sky open and the wonder of your grace come down to us, that we might be lifted up, and that this time of the year when we observe Lent, and when we anticipate Easter would be a blessed journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our song of dedication this morning is number 339, More About Jesus. Let us stand together and worship. Bless us now as we leave this place. Grant us the gift of your Holy Spirit. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Give us joy and peace as we serve you. Through Christ we pray. Amen.